It's good to see everybody this morning. It's a bright day outside. Might not be but 26 degrees, but the sun's out. Let's get Brother Buddy and we'll get things started off here.
Number 489, glory to his name. Number 489.
Where my Savior died, downward for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Wondrously saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Was the blood applied? Glory to his name. Remain standing, please. Brother Buddy, how about you opening in prayer for us? Be seated.
Lord, number 449. God be the glory. Number 449.
Thank you.
choir practice this evening.
Get out of my head, but I'm just thinking that.
Fellowship song now. Brother Buddy's got a good song to tell. Tell it to Jesus. I'm going to turn the words around.
Number 347.
I said I'm a prince, I'm a king, I'm a king.
Keep the pastor in your prayers. I know he's probably enjoying himself right now, not at home. And he's no, I'm just kidding.
We'll get him after church this morning.
Probably. But I'm sure he's enjoying all that preaching. Some of what drugs? Mine? No, I don't have that. I'm loony without drugs. Let's see what Sister Teresa has for us.
Like the grass lying still, beneath the flowers on the hill, without you, Lord, they just wouldn't grow. Like the sheep gone astray, I'd be wandering each day. Without you, I have no place to go. I can vision a tree with no branches. I can vision a church with no pews. I can vision a well with no water. But Lord, I can't picture me without you. Precious Lord, be my guide, ever walking by my side. When I'm weak, give me strength to go on. In the darkness of night, hold my hand, be my light. Guide my step till I'm safely at home. I can vision a tree with no branches. I can vision a church with no pews. I can vision a well with no water. But Lord, I can't picture me without you. I can vision a tree with no branches. I can vision a church with no pews. I can vision a well with no water. But Lord, I can't picture me without you. But Lord, I can't picture me without you.
Amen. All right. Someone help me remember.
Where's that building fund guy? I need some help.
Come on, fellas. Well, where's Captain? Captain don't want to do it either? All right, Caleb, you're on your own, boy.
Thank you. waiting for all week.
Brother Taylor, I don't believe you're no stranger to nobody. Come on up, and I know the Lord's got something you bless us with today.
He always does.
Good morning.
You usually stay close by, but if you want to use it, you're welcome.
All right. Think I need it?
That's up to you.
Okay. I think last time I almost walked off with it, so. Amen. Good morning. Thank you for coming. Where'd the snow go? Y'all didn't get any. We couldn't even have church this morning at ours because the parking lot was froze over. So I was able to bring my wife this morning, so I guess I'll have to watch what I say. Because when I can't be as liberal, I guess. But anyway, I appreciate little Caleb. I'll tell you, when there's a job to be done, he knows how to do it. He gets both buckets. I'll tell you, that's a servant of the Lord taking two buckets because you know God's going to fill them up. I'll tell you, whenever God says to get your bucket out, bring two because he's going to fill both of them up. And good to see you this morning. Thank you for coming out and being here this morning. I talked with Brother Van last night, and he's suffering really bad. It's only 70-some degrees down there. And he said they'd make it another day, though. So, but, you know, when you get preachers together, they have a good time. But he didn't want to rub it in too much. So, anyway, he sent his love and said they'd be leaving tomorrow. Hopefully he'll be recharged and ready to. I shouldn't have looked at Darlene at that particular moment. But anyway, thank you so much for being here this morning. I'll tell you, it's been a year. I hadn't been here since last year. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. Of course, the older you get, time flies whether you're having fun or not. So I saw this little story about Grandma and Grandpa starting off the new year, and they were sitting around the breakfast table one Saturday morning, and Grandpa said, "Ma said, I think we ought to do something different this year." And she said, "What do you got in mind, Pa?" And he said, "I think what we should do is get on our finest clothes and get in a pickup truck and go down to the town and take in one of their movie shows." She said, "Well, you know, that might be nice." He said, "We hadn't done that in years." He said, "No, let's go." So they got their best duds on and went down to town and went into the theater there. And old Paul says, "Ma, so you see anything you want to get before we go sit down?" And she said, "You know, I'd like to have a big old bucket of buttered popcorn." He said, "You know, that sounds pretty good." He says, "Let's go get us one." So they were there and she was getting her popcorn. And he looked over in the counter and he said, "Ma, do you see what I see?" And she said, "What, Pa?" And he said, "That big old Tootsie Roll over there." Said, "I hadn't had a Tootsie Roll in years. Said, I'm going to get me one of them." So he got his Tootsie Roll. She got her bucket of popcorn. They went down and found him a nice place and started watching the movie and eating the popcorn. And he took a big old bite into that Tootsie Roll, you know. And about that time, she looked over and she couldn't find Paul. And she said, "Paul, where are you?" And she looked on the floor and there he was on all fours. She said, "Paul, what are you doing down there?" And he said, "I dropped my candy." And she said, "Well, if you find it, it's going to be filthy." He said, "I know, but I got to get it." And she said, "Why?" He said, "My teeth are in it." So hopefully nobody here is in that condition, but those big old Tootsie Rolls can be a problem sometime. But if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of Acts. Acts chapter number 8. Just to give you a little update, of course, we have had wonderful meetings in our nursing home ministries. And from April of last year through December, we had 19 people saved. And since the new year started, we've already seen two people saved. And God's really been blessing us. And we did lose one of the nursing home ministries, the Smith Adult Care, on Wednesday mornings. I was over there back in, November, yeah. just for Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact. And after I'd finished the service, the administrator's wife was there, and she said, "Can I speak to you for a moment?" I said, "Well, sure." And she said, "You're going to have to, if you're going to preach over here, you're going to have to preach the Bible." And I said, "Well," I said, "I only know one Bible, and that's what I preach." And she said, "Well, you've got to understand that you don't know what the gospel is." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." And she said, "Well, you're going to preach here, you're going to have to preach Acts 2:38. And I said, "Ma'am, if you're trusting water baptism to get to heaven, you're going to split hell wide open." She said, "That's part of the gospel." I said, "No, ma'am, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection." And she said, "Well, unless you're going to preach the true gospel, you can't come anymore." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to compromise to preach over here." So we lost that ministry, but we did see 3 people saved in the 14 months we were there. And so just pray now. I'm looking for another place to go on Wednesday morning. So just make that a matter of prayer. And, you know, I feel sorry for people who, for some reason, just won't believe the Bible. They've got their own idea of how you get to heaven and all these different things, and it's very simple. I mean, it's even a child can understand it, because Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me." And so just pray that people will have a open heart, an open ear to the Word of God this year, that we might see people saved. And of course, I know there's a lot of demonic activity going on, and with the way things are going in Washington and all the other places, it's really a shame to see how our country is really going downhill fast. But as long as there's a light upon the hill here, there's still hope. So just continue to stand on the good old Bible and trust the Lord to bring in the harvest. So in Acts chapter 8 this morning, we're going to talk about something that I believe we have less of in our churches than we have had in many years, and that's a simple thing called joy. In chapter 8, of course, it follows chapter 7, and we all know in chapter 7, the first martyr of the church, Stephen, was stoned to death, and now in chapter 8, we're meeting this Pharisee by the name of Saul. And we'll read in verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," meaning the death of Stephen, "and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time together. We thank you for your day that you've given unto us. We thank you for your word. We just ask now that the Spirit of God may speak to hearts. Take what's to be said this morning and apply it to our hearts and to our lives, that we may grow in wisdom and grace. Let everything today be done for your glory. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God bless America. Amen. As we see in the beginning of the chapter, this old Pharisee by the name of Saul has death warrants to all who would be found in that way, of course, the way of Jesus Christ. And he's a very zealous person. He believes he's really doing God and God's favor and God's work by persecuting those who do not believe in the traditions. And so he has just been witness to the fact of Stephen's death, and now he is beginning to persecute the church. And the Bible says there was great persecution, and they were scattered. One of the reasons why there was persecution of the church was the fact that the saints of that area had gotten comfortable where they were. You remember Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world But they found the world to be right in their own little neighborhoods, and they stuck real close. And God had to stir them up a little bit, had to get them out of their comfort zone and get them out of their territory so they would go and take the gospel to all people. So he allowed all of this persecution to take place, and the people started to scatter, all except the apostles. And so we come to the church, and we see this fellow by the name of Philip. Now, he's not one of the apostles. He's a different Philip. But he is in Samaria, and he's preaching the gospel. And a lot of things take place in his ministry. He's the one who was having a great revival, and God called him out to the desert to meet the Ethiopian eunuch and lead him to Christ. And, of course, he was also preaching when this, if you read on in the chapter, you find Simon the sorcerer in his form of salvation. But right here in this particular instance, Philip is preaching and people are being saved, people are being healed, demons are being cast out. And what we have is the first thing that we see today is great persecution. There's great persecution toward us in the church today. They're trying to take away all of the rights of the church. They're trying to find ways to allow taxation of the church and different things. And so we really have to be up on the law as to how the church is to operate so that we won't be found violating any of the federal laws. They've got, mandates on if your church has a, take for instance, a food bank. Well, they can come in there, and if you have certain food goods that are in there that have too much fat or cholesterol or salt or all these things, they can actually find you in contempt and be a violation. You'll be able to have to lose your tax-exempt status because the government has decided what's healthy and what's not. And so they're trying to hit the church in all kinds of ways, and even now they have a law, if you have a food bank or you have an outreach and you have people come and they're eating and you're feeding the community, and if somebody gets up and preaches while they're eating, that's called a violation of the law because you've entrapped people. Now, you can preach to them if you don't feed them, but if you feed them, you can't preach to them. And, of course, that puts a crimp in rescue missions and all these other things, because one of the things you want to do is get the people in and give them a good meal, but also give them a little bit of the food from the table of the Lord as well. And so it's persecution is coming in more ways than we ever thought or imagined. And we see that Stephen was stoned. Of course, he got stoned for one reason. He was preaching the gospel. And I was thinking about this when I was... It was what happened to me over at Smith Adult Care. Was the only offense they could come up with was I wasn't preaching the truth because I left out water baptism. So we can see how there's persecution against the church. We see the physical persecution of the stoning. Then we see this old Pharisee Saul and his persecution as well, plus the demonic spirits. In fact, we see in verse 7, unclean spirits crying with loud voices were cast out. But our problem today is there's a lot of demonic activity going on. And the Bible says that we're not at war with man. We're at war with powers and principalities and the dark things of the world. And when you look at Washington, D.C. or any government today, you have to see the demonic activity that's going on, because normal people in their right mind would not have things coming out of their mouth that's coming out of people in Washington, D.C. Can you imagine? Just take the gun control thing. They call it gun control, but really that's just another way of saying we're taking your rights away from you. They want to take your guns out so you can't protect yourself, but yet they don't do anything about the ones who are illegally carrying the guns and doing the harm, you know. It's nothing about the perpetrator. It's all about the weapon. And we have a fellow in our church. He's been hoarding bullets and weapons. He and a couple of the And he told me the other day, he said, well, they want my guns, they're loaded, let them come get them. And, you know, that sounds kind of funny, but it may not be too far ahead of the future. We'll be having them knock on the door and want your gun. And I said, well, they can take mine too. They'll have to take it by the barrel first because I have a constitutional right. But you see, the problem is they're trying to get rid of the Constitution. If that isn't demonic, I don't know what is. And I heard one preacher not long ago say that President Obama was demon-possessed. And, you know, I know he's probably not demon-possessed, but he's oppressed by the demons. Because no man can say in his right mind he's a Christian and yet allow abortion. It's just not in the vocabulary of a Christian. And, you know, I'm not even going down that trail. We'll be here all day. But you understand what I'm saying. We're battling against demonic activity in high places. In Psalm 22, you read the story of the crucifixion. And when you look at the cross and Jesus looking down from that cross, and he said, the bulls of Bashan have surrounded me. And the bulls of Bashan was the area that was ruled in the Old Testament by a king named Og. Remember King Og? 12 feet tall he was. If that's not demonic, I don't know what is. His bed was 13 and a half feet long, and it was 6 feet wide and made out of iron. And he was the ruler of Bashan. And the god of the Bashans was an image of a bull. So when Jesus looked down from that cross and he saw the bulls of Bashan surrounding the cross, he wasn't talking about animals. He was talking about demons. He was being hit upon by the demonic forces of the devil from the time in Gethsemane. Remember when he prayed and sweat was great drops of blood with such demonic oppression against him. And so we see that going on even 2,000 years ago, and we can see it even today, whether it be Washington, D.C. or Richmond or wherever, when you see these laws that they're trying to pass and the different things that they say, the devil is at work. But we see in verse 4 that God has given us a great commission. He said, therefore, they that were scattered abroad, he said, go out and preach the gospel to all people, and he scattered them out. And thank the Lord for that, because we're saved today because of God scattering the disciples there in Jerusalem and got them out of their comfort zones and put them in other places. And so because of that, the disciples went out and preached. You know, it's a good thing that they went out and preached. And that's what we need in our churches today, is people who will not allow the devil to keep us quiet. I'm talking about gatekeepers and working out on going out and coming in. Remember, Solomon asked God to give him wisdom so he could go out and come in. We need that in the church today. We need to understand what we need to do when we go out and how to come back in. And defeat the gates of hell, because it's not going to be a raise up against the church. We need to get out there and get some fire underneath us. I was thinking about little Caleb running around. I said, that's what we need. We need that get up and go-ism. He was the only one collecting, so he just did the only thing he needed to do. He grabbed both buckets. And he said, I'm going to get you going or coming. So he knows how to go in and come out. Then we see in verse 5 how the gospel went forth. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And people with one accord there in verse 6, they began to hear the word of God, and of one accord they came. That word accord means in one purpose. And in verse 6 it talks about how they were heeding unto the words that were being preached. That word heed means they were eager. And they heard, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. And they saw the work of the Holy Spirit as people were being converted, people were being healed of their diverse diseases. You know, I kind of, and that lady was telling me that day, you know, she said, in Christ, his stripes we are healed. And she said she got mad because I said that wasn't physical. Actually, the stripes that are being healed is a sin. This disease comes from sin, and it was Jesus who saved us from our sins. And she said, well, no, that means all of our sicknesses are healed. And I said, well, if that were the case, why is this place here? A lot of people there. You see, it's up to God. But yet, it's Jesus whose stripes of those lashings on his back that were put there because of sin. And, of course, when Jesus died on the cross, it said he died the death of every man. So he had every disease known to mankind. He died every way you could die. He suffered every death for every man. But it was because of sin. That's why he went to the cross. It was because God so loved the world that Jesus went to the cross, but it was sin that kept him there. Because nobody, no mother or father who has such a love for a child would let their child suffer the way he did. But yet it was because of sin. And that's why we're healed, not physically, but spiritually. So we see what was taking place, that Jesus, Philip goes down to Samaria. You remember Samaria was the place of the Samaritan people, and they were the outcasts of the Jews. And of course, that's where Jesus met the woman at the well, and the great revival took place there, and all those people were saved. And Philip went back there and said, hey, I'm preaching Jesus, because these people in Samaria, they know what took place years ago when he came, and he continued the preaching of the ministry. And of course, the outreach of the people that were gathered together to hear the word of God and to heed that word, to be eager about it. We need, in our churches, we need people who are eager to hear the word of God. It's a good thing to know when you're coming to church, that, oh boy, I'm going to get something from God today. I'm going to come with my hands up. You know, people praise the Lord. You see them doing like this, but what you need to do is like this. That's the way the Old Testament saints, they prayed to God with palms up, saying, Lord, fill them up. And believing that he would. So we see the outreach, and we see the works of the outreach. And then we see some of the results in verse 7. Of course, the unclean spirits, they came out of many that were possessed. The palsies, the different diseases, people were being healed. And of course, that was the spiritual healing. And then, of course, physical healing is a transition from that. We pray and ask God to heal us, and sometimes he says yes, sometimes it's like in Paul's case. Paul prayed for years that he would be removed of the thorn in the side of his flesh. But of course, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so all of these things are taking place because of the gospel. You see, that's the one thing that we have that the world needs. If we don't tell them, who will? We got a lot of people out there. Wanda and I were coming up the road and was looking at the different churches and the parking lots. And of course, I understand maybe a lot of people are back up in the hill somewhere and can't get down. But of all the churches that were filled up, one was the Kingdom Hall down in Axton, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Kingdom Hall. And it was packed. We came along, and there was a couple other out-of-the-way kind of churches, had plenty of people. And then we come by the Baptist churches and the other, and it was just like, where are they at? You see, if the devil can get his crowd, we need, surely the Lord can bring his crowd in. And so we need to have that eagerness to come and to be able to grow in wisdom and grace so that we can learn how to go out and come back in. That way we work every day out in the workplace, or we're out in different places, people see us, and they need to see something that's a little bit different from the rest of the world. And that's part of the outreach. But there's one good thing that comes of it, of course, in verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. You want great joy, see somebody get saved and watch what happens. I'll tell you, I've seen people over the last few months in their 80s and their 90s thinking they were all right. But when you ask them to put the rubber to the road, and you say, if you die today, do you know for sure you would go to heaven? It changes their tune a little bit, because all of a sudden, the eternal aspect of it hits them square between the eyes, and they, They want to be sure. I led a man to the Lord not long ago, and never will forget his face. I was going by the door. I didn't see him when I went by the first time, but when I came back by, I looked back in, and there he was in his bed. And so I went in. I started talking with him. I said, you getting ready to go to therapy? I said, we're getting ready to have church if you'd like to come. Are you getting ready to go to therapy? He said, no, I'm just waiting. And I said, well, I said, are you waiting for the nurse to come? He said, no, I'm just waiting. And I said, well, while you're waiting, let me tell you about Jesus. And he received Jesus as his Savior. And he said to me after that, big smile, tears in his eyes, he said, I don't have to wait anymore. He was just waiting for something. He didn't know what he was waiting for. He knew there was something he needed, and he was just waiting. And, you know, it's just by the grace of God that he put us together. And now he's not waiting anymore. But we need to have that joy. I tell you, every time I see somebody get saved, I think about when Wanda and I got saved. We got saved at home together. You know, we've had joy ever since that we didn't have before. We don't always serve God the way we should. We fail God a lot, but yet he don't fail us. I could tell you story on top of story about how God has done things that we would never have imagined, but that's because we serve such a God. And he understands our condition. He understands our needs. And one of the things he says is not prevalent in my church is joy. Three little words, little letters, J-O-Y. But there's a formula in that J-O-Y. If you look at it as Jesus is the J and others is the O and you are the Y, you praise the Lord, serve others, and guess what? You're going to have joy. You know, I go to Landmark in the morning at Stewart and Stanleytown on Tuesday and Harrison Home now on Thursday night, Franklin Health and Rehab on Friday morning. And I go and I always tell the Lord, I said, Lord, help me to go and be a blessing to people. And I come home more blessed than they are. Because you'd be surprised how blessful they are to bless you back. You know, that's the way God works it. You give a little blessing and you know, this sounds kind of trite maybe or funny, but you know, everything that God possesses, gives. Think of any one thing that God has created that doesn't give to us. Think about the sun. God created the sun. What does it do? It gives us light, gives us warmth, gives us seasons. There's nothing God owns that does not give. You want to have some joy in your life? Start giving. Your time, your talent, your money, whatever it might be. You'd be surprised what a smile will do for a lot of people. Because there's results to come out of it. You see, there was great joy in that city. I want to share one little thought as we close this morning about joy. I was up at Franklin Health and Rehab back in October, I guess it was. There was this lady, 5-year-old lady there. I'd been by her room a couple of different times, and I'd go in and talk with her, and she was talk about the Lord and all of this. And so I just assumed, you know, that's the way she talked, she must be a Christian. But I stopped in there one morning, and I just said, Ms. Harmon, her name was Canary Harmon. What a name, Canary. And she lived up to her name. She had a sweet smile and a sweet song coming out all the time. And I said, Ms. Harmon, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And she said, you know, I've been thinking about that. And she said, I'm not really sure. And so I said, well, let me show you how. And so I went through the Bible, and she asked Jesus to save her. Such a sweet little lady. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, I came into her room, and she was in a coma. And the lady that was her roommate, she's a good, faithful one to come to our services. And I said, Sally, I said, how long has Ms. Harmon been like this? And she said, a couple of days. And so as I was there, her son came in. And we got to talking, you know, and I told him, I said, well, I said, I haven't known your mom long, but I said, what I know of her, she was a sweet lady. He said, yes. She didn't have a mean bone in her body, always serving other people, just a friendly, you know, just a good old mom and grandma and all this stuff. I mean, it was just, you couldn't say enough good things about her. And he looked at me and he said, but you know, he said, I'm not sure she was saved. And I said, well, I said, if I can be of any comfort, I said, back in October, she made a profession of faith. And he said, you know, he said, my pastor came down to talk with her, and she was in this condition, wasn't able to talk with her. And he said, I'm a Christian, and he said, I've neglected my duty to find out if my mom was saved. And he was so happy that I had talked with her and she had made a profession of faith. And he said, you know, he said, I go to, what's the name of the church? I forgot another. Anyway, he went to church in Rocky Mountain. I said, oh, I know the pastor, Eddie Hawks. And I got to tell him, I said, I remember Eddie when he was a heathen. He looked at me, you know, and I said, in fact, my wife and I and the pastor visited him on Thanksgiving night in 1989, and he got saved. And I said, and as I looked at it, I said, this is how God does things. Back in 1989, Wanda and I went out on visitation on Thanksgiving night, came over to Eddie's house, and he was watching the Redskins play Dallas. He was a Redskin through and through, and Dallas was beating the tar out of him, you know. And so he said, well, I might as well talk to y'all because the game ain't going too good. And I never will forget that. And he sat there on that couch and he listened to every word Pastor Reynolds said, and I could see his eyes. And before we left, he got saved and he joined the church. And he went to the Bible Institute with us. I mean, from the ground up. Sometimes he was a handful because a lot of times he liked to sway and stray a little bit and we have to go reel him in. But he stayed with it, and now he's at Woodlawn Baptist Church in Rocky Mountain. And he said, you and your wife, you're the one. He said, he always talks about, never will forget that Thanksgiving night in 1989. I said, you know, every Thanksgiving I think about that too, because that's how God does it. He puts people together, see people saved, and here it is 20-some years later. And I lead a man's mother to the Lord. He's a member of that church. And we're able to share that time together. And he left with a smile on his face, even though his mom died later that day, I found out. But yet she died, and he had that joy of knowing that his mom had made a profession of faith. And that's where the joy comes in. When I heard all, I said, man, God is just too good to us. We don't deserve what God gives. But then I think about God, and that's all he knows how to do. Because everything about God is him giving. He gave us his son. His son gave us his life. He gave us salvation. He gave us all that we have. You know, when you think about it, there's nothing that we don't have in our life that God didn't give us. Well, without God, we can't even take our next breath. So why not our next breath be praise and joy for him? You know, I see people hooked up to machines and everything else just gasping for breath, and yet I'm walking around, I can fairly breathe fairly well. It gets worse as I get older. I have all these sinus conditions and everything. But a lot of times I take for granted the fact that I can actually breathe, and it's all because of God's grace giving me another moment in his world and being able to share something that he has shared with me. You know, Wanda and I, we were nobody special. We didn't even want the preacher to show up. Wanda would say, you and your big mouth. I invited him to come. And then all of a sudden the day was there when he was coming. We didn't want to see that man. I'll tell you what, I'm glad we did. I'll never forget it. You know, I'm not the same that I was. I could have been a lot worse off. But it's all because God gave us that joy. If a Christian can't have joy, what's left? You see, joy is not happy. Anybody watch Duck Dynasty? If you haven't seen Duck Dynasty, you're missing a treat. You know what I'm talking about. Well, old Grandpa, he likes to say, happy, happy, happy. They're good people. They try to sneak Jesus in every once in a while. The only problem is they belong to the Church of Christ. But that doesn't keep them from talking about Jesus. And they get into all kinds of situations. But they always talk about happy, happy, happy. But happiness depends on circumstance. If I'm feeling good today, I'm going to be pretty happy. But that can change in a moment. But joy comes from inside. Because joy is where Jesus lives, on the inside. Remember Paul told Timothy, he said, when you get in situations where people are coming against you, he said, stir that up which is within you. You stir up Jesus, that joy will come out. Happiness is divided up by circumstances, but joy is limited to how much I want to be joyful or not. You see, all the joy in the world is inside, but if you keep it in there, it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do anybody else any good. 96-year-old lady over at Stanleytown last week, she was talking about all of her problems, and she said, but you know what? She said, I could cry, but I'd rather laugh. It's easier to laugh than it is to cry. And she said, sometimes I laugh so hard I start to cry anyway. She said, you know what? That's real joy. And I said, you're right. When you can laugh so hard, you start to cry. That's the sweetest tears you can ever shed. Outside of the fact when somebody gets saved. What we need as a church family is to bring that which is within us out. I mean, people see you walking around smiling, whistling a tune in the middle of heartache and strife, and they're going to wonder what's wrong with that person. And you say, I got it. I believe you do. What is it you got? I don't want none of it. Yeah, you do. You want Jesus. I got plenty of him. All you got to do is let him out. Like the little girl asked her dad one time, said, how tall was Jesus? He said, maybe 6 feet. She said, well, he's that tall and he lives in me, don't he? He should spill out. And that's true. And when you let Jesus spill out, I'll tell you, you'll have joy. Because you'll see God work in the lives of other people. And it'll come right back to you. And you'll say, boy, that felt good. Once you get into a habit of it, the joy just keeps flowing and flowing. Or you can sit there and soak in sour, or you can give it out. Because God gives everything away. And he's given us the one thing this world needs. And that's Jesus Christ. And if we'll give out Jesus, I'll guarantee you, you'll have more joy than you'll know how to handle. Because the Bible says there was joy in that city. He was coming down through Danville, and Wanda said, look over yonder. That parking lot at the movie place is full. All these people going to the movies when they could be in a good, sound, fundamental church getting what they need. Boy, it would be nice if we could say Danville is a city of joy or Martinsville is a city of joy. Why? Because they know Jesus Christ. It's up to you and me. So let's take a tip from old Caleb and pick up both buckets. You got to put one in one and another one. I'll just work both aisles at the same time. That's what we need. Some get up and go. And taking our buckets with us, looking for God to fill it up. Then there'll be great joy in that city. Father.